I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Off.
Go ahead.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I got beef.
Oh, Lord.
Kellogg's.
Because?
Oh, I went in the shop one day and thought, you know what? I want some ricicles. It's been a while. I could do some ricicles.
Oh, no.
They don't exist anymore, do they?
No, they don't. Oh, I discovered they were taken down years ago and I didn't realise it because obviously I haven't been in the mood.
That in no shop for quite some time.
Yeah, and I'm pissed because Kellogg seems to do this a lot of my cereals. Because I remember, do you remember Choco Flakes?
Oh, of course.
Choco Flakes. Oh, that was like that. Like it wasn't as good as Cocoa Pebbles, but it was enough to satisfy my need. And then they got rid of that.
That was a good summer if you got Choco Flakes, right?
Choco Flakes was fucking good. But no, it's not good for the kids. Fuck them kids, man. I want my cereal. I can't get my Cocoa Pebbles, yeah, but I have to.
Wow,
yeah, for a t-shirt, but them kids want my cereal. That's your t-shirt, I think.
I think that's a t-shirt right there. Fuck them kids for less than 3 minutes.
I want my cereal.
I don't want my fucking cereal. I'm making a joke. I don't get my t-shirt, my cereal.
Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast about geekery, nerdism, and all else in between from a bunged up South London postcode. I am Shadows. And welcome to the season finale.
She got allergies.
I think I have allergies. I don't have Schmovid. I just have something. I don't know what it is. But I am here, damn it, because I had an idea, a thought. And I thought for the season finale that I would bring in two awesome people in my life to bring this to fruition. So, big man, how you doing?
I'm good. Hello, everybody. I hope everyone is well. Welcome to the season finale. I can't complain. It's a very
he can.
Warm...
He can and he will.
It's positive. It's rarity that British weather's actually not that bad, so we embrace it while it lasts. But I'm all good.
It's hot.
Exactly. I can't complain. How are you doing, bro? Apart from obviously your previous comments about your cereal, but how are you anyway?
Do you remember when ricicles were just available? You know, just like, I could have swore I saw him in a shop, but I clearly didn't see him, so I was delusional. I just...
If you saw him in the shop, I suggest you have a word with a man behind the counter.
Yeah, because... really, that sell-by date might be a problem.
It'll be worth the risk, you understand me? I will risk it.
Oh my God, he's going to risk it all.
But I'm fine, thank you very much. Hey guys, how's everyone doing?
Gonna have to do a shout out. Like, I feel like we're gonna have to do a best cereals of the podcast.
Cocoa Pebbles number one. End of story. No questions. Done.
Cocoa Pebbles for the win.
Cocoa Pebbles. Why was it? Why are you £10 a bloody box, man? Jesus Christ! Wow. If you were £5 a box, damn. I remember it used to be my local Tesco for £3.50 a box. Oh, that was like the I knew I had chosen the right area to be in because it gave me my cereal that I love so dearly from my local Tesco's. It was perfect. And you know what happened? Fucking Brexit. Fucking Brexit. Okay.
Usually
I'm
the angry one, but I'm glad I'm not this week.
It's the heat and the allergies. It affects us all. No, like takes a us
fucking
down.
Cereal!
Oh my
so
God.
So you know what? We'll sort it out, yeah? Chill. Eyes down.
We'll sort you out. If anyone wants to send us some, you know, just email me at sentjudesavengers@gmail.com and I'll provide you an address to send all the...
I am not a charity case. I can get my own cereal. Oh, well, clearly I can't get my own cereal because they don't make it anymore, do they?
Can I just do my bit? Okay, well, this week, it's my turn. And I thought I'd go a little bit strange and odd. So here is my proposition, and the boys know about this in advance. Each of you is you get to control an hour and a half of a kids' TV channel for a Saturday morning. You get to basically put on five shows from whatever era you want, and these are some of your favourites. So, what shows would you pick?
Who goes first?
And why? Should I go first? Is this my one?
Yes, it is.
Please.
Okay, all right then. So, 8:30 a.m. first one episode is going to be the Thundercats episode, All That Glitters, season one, episode 17. One of my personal favorite episodes. It's the one where they're drilling for frondrillium, and because of course they have frondrillium, and they basically, because it's something that came with a meteor, it contains impurities, which is gold, which Panthro describes as junk, because it has no, it's an inert chemical nature. I actually watched it again today just for giggles. And then he gathers it and dumps it in a bottomless chasm using the thunder tank, because of course. However, Chitara picks up a bit of it. She's like, I love it, and makes a chain out of it and just starts to wear it for the rest of the episode. I love this episode. It's the episode where the Sword of Omens gets broken because they break a cardinal rule, which is that due to the deception of Mumra, Lion-O and Tigra ended up fighting each other, and the Sword of Omens is broken. And thus hilarity ensues. Schnarf is doing this Schnarfness. The Burbles drop up in there for a bit of knowledge. Honestly, it's just one of my favourite episodes. Bruv killed this. It was recorded and he killed the episode to the point where when I was watching it, I was like, I remember all of what he's saying. It's junk. I remember all of it. And I was like, oh my God, see how it all comes back. And one of the things I like at the end, because, you know, like, the thing with Thundercats is they all have, like, a moral.
Yeah.
So the moral for, which I didn't know, the moral for All That Glitters is be sure before you act. But I think that's trifling, because I think, I do, I think that's trifling, because I think the actual moral is that cats will hide shiny things, but they could be useful. Because the fact that... Because the thing is, what it transpires is that not only did Chitara take the necklace, she took a whole load and basically put it in her room so she could basically just do cat things with the gold. And it ended up being useful to reforge the Sword of Omens. So even though I like the be sure before you act, there's a whole subtext behind it. I went down a rabbit hole, guys. They were like talking about children who may not be able to concentrate. So this lesson is demonstrated to them that, you know, like Tigra and Lion-O, if you act first without thought, there can be devastating consequences. So the children need to know that you should be sure before you act. And it just reminds me of the He-Man episode that you saw, bruv, where it's like, bend with your legs, bend with your back, not your legs, or bend with your legs, not with your back. And I remember that going, oh my God. But yeah, so... that would be my first point at 8:30 a.m. You would have to watch Thundercats, All That Glitters.
Nice choice.
9 a.m. We're going to take it like now. We are going to go to something more current. And I think the stereotype would be that, and it's tempting to kind of stay in the past, but I want to give props to the present and current, or my present and current. So the second thing that I will put on is the episode The Words from the series The Amazing World of Gumball. It is the 12th episode of season 2. And The Amazing World of Gumball is just... it's nuts to describe it. I'm going to try. There's a dad who is a cat and the mum's a rabbit, and they have children, Anais and Gumball. And one day, Gumball's goldfish attains sentience, sprouts legs, and becomes his adopted brother. It's weird. A lot of the animation was actually done in Britain, and it's just an amazing series. I'd highly recommend it. This series, The Words, is basically where Darwin's really, really polite, so Gumball teaches him how to be direct. And what happens is an amazing montage where, under the tutelage of Gumball, Darwin starts to like issue disses in songs, and it culminates with them having a battle in the style of Street Fighter, but just with words. And it is honestly a beauty to behold. I'm going to share the link to the song "Tell Him What He Thinks About Us" because I love it so much, and it literally cracks me up. So that would be my second choice.
Nice. The Words.
Okay. 9:30 a.m. We're going to go weird. I'm going to say the first episode, season 1, Nightmare. Because... right. I said the other day that my theory is that Nightmare is the original escape room. Nightmare, and I didn't really realise this, has like a viewing in Cuba and like loads of places in Canada, and some Americans may have actually seen this, where, you know, basically some kids direct another kid through a maze. The kid has a helmet on, and what we see is the most basic and amazing Spectrum Zenith graphics that you'll ever see in your entire life, as this person is guided through a series of maze and different rooms. It is the original to me escape room, just on a wider scale. And it's basically like a team who basically guides this member. So it's like, you know, they'll go forward 5 steps, turn left, what have you. And then you have to do something like, if you're going to cast spell, you go spell casting, and you would spell out the spell. And yeah, you're basically trying to navigate through. You're basically doing dungeon crawling. And the person is called the Dungeoneer. And you have your first guidance by Traegard, who puts you through the whole, who gives you an introduction, and you go through that. And it is, sometimes it stops on a cliffhanger. There's no guarantee that one episode you'll complete it. Sometimes they die, not obviously for real, but you know, in the game. And it, honestly, I didn't realize it was 8 seasons long, is what I didn't realize.
Really?
Yeah, it's really it was 8 seasons long. It ran from 1987 to 1994, and it was the stuff of I had to come home for it because it was just so enjoyable to watch. The first season was like 8 episodes, but they went on to like do 16 and what have you. So I honestly, genuinely would leave. I'm going to try and leave a little intro to Nightmare in the comments, in the below. So just check that out. That would be my personal request for the 9:30 slot. 10 a.m. Once again, I'm coming a bit more, not old school, into the current. My choice is the episode First Day from the series Regular Show. That's season 2, episode 25. I love it. I love Regular Show. I feel like people of our age appreciate it probably more because it references a lot of stuff that we grew up with. Strange and amazing recreations of stuff. First Day I love because it begins with Kenny Loggins doing I'm All Right from Caddyshack. But if you watch it, it's shot like Top Gun, which is gonna sound weird, but trust me, watch it. And even the way things that things are look things I looked at really remind me of the Top Gun volleyball scene, and it's very deliberate. I watched, I was like, this is literally the Top Gun. It's a really good series. Mark Hamill's in it. There are some weird people who turn up in the entirety of Regular Show, including the founding member of Destiny's Child, which I was like, I'm sorry, what? Amazing. Mark Hamill's in it permanently. It's just an amazing cavalcade. Old school films like House and Kickboxer and just the most weird and random things turn up in there. And it's just basically is about Mordecai and Rigby, who are just two waste men who basically work in a park and what they get up to. And the escalation is always mad. The escalation is always some kind of weirdness. Like how you get there is like, how did we get there? But yeah, please check it out. And I love Pops. And one of the things I love is that they basically play the like rock, paper, scissors. And Pops calls it quartz, parchment, shears. And I just love it. I love it so, so much. Please, please watch Regular Show. Which brings me to 10 a.m. My final show. And I feel like I want to traumatize people because that's how a lot of British TV was. So my final choice would be this episode one, series one, Chucky. It's a very strange TV
Which one's
show.
Chucky?
It's called Chucky. It was in 1984. It's a six-part television drama. It's based on a novel by John Wyndham, who wrote like David Triffids. And it's basically about this kid who kind of gets chosen by an extraterrestrial visitor to be the source of information about life on Earth. And all of his like work has started to improve. And it means like a powerful, like insidious group take notice. And it's just the weirdest thing because it's strange things like they don't tell you when it's set, but it's a kind of future. And their idea of the future is the fact that the family has like a Citroen CX car because they see that as quite futuristic back in the day. But it's also quite creepy. The sound, the music is very creepy. I'll play it. It's really, really weird. But it's very British and it has this insidious ick about it that makes you feel a bit like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? So I watched it and was traumatized, but I could not stop watching it and watched it. It's like, there's literally like two sequels, Chucky's Children and Chucky's Challenge. And yeah, but I would definitely say I'm going to end on the weird British note of Chucky. And that's what I would do for a Saturday morning if you let me just do the programming.
I don't know if I don't understand what your end game is. I don't. Why would you? What? Are you trying to entertain or destroy?
Both, because that's what British TV does to you. You're a bit shorter than the wheelies, right?
No, clearly not, because I
see. All the... Jamie Magic Torch.
Jamie Magic Torch, do you remember that? Yeah.
Some of that stuff was like horrifying, and that's the thing I don't think is with a lot of British kids TV, because a lot of the stoners were allowed to make TV. They obviously been on bad acid trips, and then all their acid trips became TV series like Chucky and Sapphire and Steel and other weird things. All the puppets, because we can't forget about the puppet thing. Mm-hmm. I could have gone down the whole Joe Knighty Captain Scarlet thing, but I decided not to and leave it at Nightmare and Chucky. Yeah. My aim was to delight, surprise, and terrify.
And we succeeded.
Yeah. So that's my programming for Saturday, and then go forth in the world being terrified, intrigued, and wanting to see more. Huh. Wow. Welcome, Watchers of Illusion, to the Castle of Confusion. There we go. What do you think? Wow,
yeah, the silence
is deafening.
Yeah. I think I'll taste differences.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there were some ways I could have gone, but I decided to go against the grain a little bit with the inclusion of Nightmare and Chucky.
Fair enough.
Mm. Okay, who's next on the programming?
Not yet.
So you're it. Okay, bro, go.
I said not it. That's the rule. If I say not it, it's not me. It's Big Man. Go away.
Oh, Big Man, go for it. What's your programming say? What you got?
Is that ironic, actually, because you've actually mentioned one of my programs in your last sentence. So, to start things off on a Saturday morning, you wake up, you come downstairs, you turn on your TV, bang, you're just going to go into a hard hitter straight away. One of my defining programs as a child, growing up, even now, I still watch this program, no matter how old it is, Captain Scarlet.
Yeah, Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons.
Yeah.
Harry Anderson in the building.
Episode 1. Now, I need to take you back to a young Big Man.
Hear you say that is weird. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know why it's weird.
Because
I don't think I've ever heard you call yourself Big Man.
That's true.
No,
it felt like a rap song. Like, let's take a step to think back.
It's weird hearing yourself refer to yourself, you know, third person at the same time. You've never called yourself Big. Oh no, okay, whatever. I'm sorry.
That's weird. Sorry. So the year of the young Big Man.
Yeah, you're the young Big Man, and this was a late Saturday afternoon, this may have been, or early morning, can never remember. I was with my late gran, my auntie, my uncle, and I fully blame him for this, actually. So shout out to you, Garth, yeah, I fully blame you. He's been like, Warren, like a boy just shuffling on the floor. Said, we've got something that we're going to watch. And starts, and all of a sudden he puts on this program. I just remember it being dark and someone walking down an alley. And then randomly, some guy in a red outfit is just shooting away. Everyone's shooting at him.
You know what? I can see this. I remember this episode.
And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this man's been shot at, but there's no bullets. And then the introduction will always sticks in my head. Leading the fight, there is one man, indestructible. His name... Captain Scarlet.
Captain Scarlet. Dun 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 dun.
This was my first journey into darkness, no pun intended. I know.
Darkness.
It was my first journey into darkness because you see the story of how one Captain Black actually turned. He was never bad from the get-go. Unfortunately, he took on the Mysterons, failed, and they turned him. But something for me as a child stood out, and this what got me. This is allegedly a children's program. One thing I always remember in the whole episode, there was one death that even as now I thought, how and why? This is a children's program. Captain Black is in a plane. He's in a helicopter, and he's got one of his colleagues with him. His colleagues talking away. At this point, he's been affected by the Mysterons. And being the voices that the Mysteron was, it was, you need to throw him out of the plane.
Wow.
And I can't remember why this guy was talking to Captain Black. He was just saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to turn left, you need to dodge the bullets. I remember Captain Black just looked at him, gave him a backhand, and just threw him out of the plane. And I thought, hang on, this is a children's program. You don't see someone die like that. And then you realise, actually, you're not the problem. Your unfortunate was just in the way. And I think from then, that's what stood out to me. That, yes, Conrad Turner is a dark, dark, dark character. But he can't help it. He really can't. And you can see those later episodes, he was trying to fight against the Mysterons, but there's just too much for him. And every week, I mean, hell, that's to prove how retro this is. I mean, that was probably my most expensive DVD I bought back in the day when DVDs first came out. I spent £130 on that box set.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Wow. That's dedication.
Yeah, and you can imagine many years later when I saw it for £5, I wanted to cry and just...
That's an insult right there. That man, they dissed you and didn't even kiss you.
Oh, look.
For real. Ooh.
Yeah, that hurt. But you know what? It's one of those programs, even it's had many remakes, many different adaptations, but you can never not the original. And what I loved about Captain Scarlet compared to Thunderbirds, this program never ended with everyone sitting around a family table, cracking up or playing around a piano. No.
Yeah, Cat Scott didn't do that.
No, you knew it was something was going to come back 10 times worse. Kind of preparing you for life in a way. Kind of hard not life, but yeah, wow. Captain Scott. It was a lesson to be learned. But that was dark. So that's the, 8:30 slot, correct?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, you got 9 o'clock now.
9 o'clock, we have to move up the tempo a little bit. Now, I'm sorry. You cannot mention children's TV or kids' TV without mentioning this program. Now, this program pretty much cemented my love for comic books. We all know what this program is. We've all seen it. We all loved it. And the fact it's coming back soon, as long as it has that intro, I'm all in.
Is it?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. VR Troopers, I love that show.
Wow. Oh, God.
God
damn.
Yeah, so X-Men for me was just a flawless TV series. Am I wrong to say that I actually prefer some of the cartoons to the movies as well?
You're not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. Because obviously, when it comes to cartoons and TVs in general, TV series in general, they're not hindered by politics, aka producers who think they know better.
Ain't that the truth, right there? Couldn't have said any better, bro. Now, there's been many episodes I can talk about. I mean, Gambit's debut, him and the whole Rogue's love story. But for me, the standout episode is season 2. It was a 2-part I called "Death Do Us Part." If you remember that, that's when Jean and Cyclops are getting married.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mr. Sinister.
Yes.
That for me was literally jumping off the comic book page onto a TV for me. It was everything. I can sit here and watch the lyrical all night, but I won't. If anyone knows or can find this, please stop what you are. In fact, listen to this podcast and then go and watch it.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant. And the fact that it's all X-Men working together with something we haven't seen since X2. That is still actually my favourite X-Men movie. This was brilliant. Mr. Simpson was brilliant. Everything was just flawless. As you will say, sis, chef's kiss right there.
Chef's kiss.
Must be. Must see TV or must see animation TV. So that was the... To be fair, yeah, but that's a 2-parter. Is that allowed?
I'll allow it.
Okay. She's biased.
I'll allow it. Season finale, I'll allow it. I'm biased to X-Men, so I'll allow it.
Also, this is another connection to the Marvel mainstream of cartoon series. If I have to mention X-Men, I'm going to have to mention Spider-Man.
Is that your mention, or are you actually
Spider-Man
watching next?
Spider-Man, radio. Yeah.
But which one?
Spider-Man. Yep, that one. Come on. That was the mid-90s. Everyone was watching that Spider-Man series.
Do you know the most weird thing about that show is that when you really think about it, when you look back at it, Spider-Man never really threw a punch. I think there's like once he threw a punch, but they never had guns. Like, you had the Punisher, who's probably one of the most kill heavy characters in the Marvel franchise. He had guns, but they were laser stun guns. He never threw him as a hero never threw like a full blown punch at a bad guy ever, and that was done by design.
No, that was done very well. That's a bad thing that now, because even thinking about it, he actually used his brain or had help, but he never physically got involved. And ironically, one of my favourite standout episodes was season 2, and it was called The Battle of the Sinister Six, which clearly, for those that know, is Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it was a rarity that you had the, if I can use the term, original Sinister Six all in one lineup. But if I'm correct, it was Aunt May that actually helped. It was Aunt May that they kidnapped. That's why Peter went after him.
Yes. You're talking about in the cartoon?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
And I can remember it right now. And I think I need to find this, because it's damn fucking.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
To come by, and I've been looking for it on stream devices, we even went on eBay, and you know it's bad when I've got search on eBay for something, and I've been quoted ridiculous price. I don't love it that much, but everything about that episode, from them taking Aunt May, Peter Tamley's breakdown, because that's Aunt May. You don't ever touch Aunt May. You don't no, simply you just don't do it. To see how he reacted and the hell he was put through to save her, and the help he had to save her, brilliant. Absolutely. For me, I remember as a child watching it, and who had that? Was that BBC that showed it?
Sky One had it. Right, I think one, yeah. when it came on normal TV, I think it was ITV, one of the thing shows had it, I think.
A cat show, and I remember screaming at the TV and getting told to shut up and making too much noise. But it was everything you could have wanted, because it ended up such a cliffhanger. I'm like, and typical Sky. That's the continuation. Come back next week. I ain't got 7 days. I ain't Craig David. I ain't got time to wait. I want it now. But what can I say? Absolutely brilliant. One for the ages. Spider-Man, we salute you.
Nice.
Okay,
nice.
What you got?
Now, this one is a no-brainer. Yet again, it's something that if you know me, you know my association and affiliation with this cartoon series as a child. Love it then, even love it now. I'm going to have to mention He-Man.
Well, the Masters of the Universe, yep. Of course.
Now, we have to go a little bit fast forward. It's season one, episode 60. Episode 60, you know, in season one.
Wow.
And the name...
We should put it all into that first. Just in case, we're going to put it all into this one.
Yeah. This is... The name of the episode is called Evil Seed. Does that ring a bell?
Vaguely.
No.
This is the first, and I mean first and last time, that you saw He-Man and Skeletor work together.
Oh, this rings a bell. Why do I remember seeing this? But it's vague.
Right, Evil Seed basically was, if I'm correct, just like a criminal with Poison Ivy or some sort. She was stronger than both of He-Man and Skeletor put together. They couldn't defeat her separately. In fact, if I'm correct, she was originally working with Skeletor, but she double-crossed him. And, you know, we don't double-cross Skeletor here, because the breakdown ensues, and they're still cool laughing, and the cussing goes down. There was none of that. So, it was bizarre seeing... It's kind of like... I'm sorry to use a wrestling pun, but Hulk Hogan and Macho Man working together. Seeing them two work together to stop her, brilliant. because you're always thinking Skeletor's going to double turn here, because this you just, it's like seeing Superman and Lex Luthor working together. It ain't never going to happen. It probably might have, when I don't know about it, but
yeah, it's happened a few times, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's something that even now, I'm talking to you, I remember watching it the other day and I thought, why hasn't this ringing? But it was such an episode. It was brilliant. But what got me is the fact that this is a series, season one, and we don't get this now. I mean, we're lucky if a program gets 5 episodes, but this has 60 in its first season. You don't get those numbers anymore. And
No,
you don't. Can you imagine 60? No. Even though I'd be intimidated if I saw that on Netflix one day. What?
Challenge accepted. Let's do it.
75.
Boss, I'm not coming into work.
This is going to be a long mid session. Okay.
I have a real job in front of me now.
Yeah. I'm only on episode 32. I've got some time to go.
I have to mention the He-Man, so that's a no-brainer. So I believe that leaves me one more.
Yep, you do.
Now, this one's going to shock a few people.
Probably not.
Probably not.
This,
Gordon.
There's no ways about it. I'd have to go. I can barely say it without even laughing. Felix the Cat.
Yeah, again, okay,
that is a shock to me, but yeah.
I know you, big man. That's
yeah.
Felix the Cat.
That is your happy place. Yes, that is a happy place for you.
What's there not to love about a sarcastic cat? I mean, to be fair, no different than Garfield, but I think Felix was just 10 times worse. There was actually no level to what this cat will say will do, which, prime example, season 1, episode 1. Some little kid was kept, the whole episode was just you getting to know Felix and what he does and how he operates with his crew and being a bit of a loner. But one thing stood out to me in this episode. This little boy, for the whole episode, was kind of really wanting to befriend Felix. Stuck to him like glue. So whenever Felix wanted to get something to drink, he would be there. Wanted something to eat, he would be there. And he kept on talking to Felix. And you can see Felix was getting agitated. He was getting wound up for a cat, obviously. Now, what Felix did next, I couldn't believe. For a cat and a children's program. He looks at the boy up and down. And he says, and I quote, "Get away from me, kid. You're boring me," and kicks him out of the way.
Sorry.
God goes crying to his mum. And at that point, I thought, damn, you're a cat. You're supposed to be loved. But yet, you're acting kind of cold. And I saw the clip recently on YouTube as well, that same episode. And I'm crying on the way to work. People thought I was having some type of breakdown. But I was absolutely crying with laughter because I can't stop. It's such an episode. So by all means, if you want a nice, relaxing laugh on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, by all means, put on Felix and Friends. I fully recommend.
Oh. All right. All right, little journey that we go on.
Sure enough. Thank you, big man. No problem, man. The story's from Big Man, season 2.
Forthcoming. Oh, wow.
Bruv.
What you got for us? Tell us what he thinks about us.
It's not my turn, it's someone else's turn. No.
There's literally 3 of us and Jason is still...
No, Jason, you let me down again, mate. Fucking hell, dude. All right. Okay, so I went a different way. I thought I would go more old school, but I chose not to. I thought I'd kind of keep it. I kept it in the area where I kind of embraced my geekiness a bit more, I would say.
Okay,
kind of,
cool.
But my choices are kind of not what you expect, but you're not so, you shouldn't be surprised by my choices.
Okay, I'm excited.
Okay.
All right, so
first one.
Yeah.
Now, I knew I was going to go with this show, but I wasn't sure of the episode to choose from because there was 2 episodes I really wanted to choose from, but one just outdid it for me due to the fact that it just tied into my love for superheroes. So the show is Rugrats.
Oh, Yes, 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 yes. I like that. Bold choice, bruv.
And the episode's from season 3, episode 14, I think it is, or 12. Episode 4, I was completely wrong. 21. Episode 21 in season 3. So with Drug Rats, they did double episodes. So the first episode was it was Angelica's Worst Nightmare, which is not the one I really want to concentrate on. It was the next one afterwards, which was called the Mega Diaper Babies.
Mega Diaper Baby.
Like,
I can remember that one.
Yeah. So, like, for those who don't know the story, so the idea is that the Rugrats, so Tommy, Chucky, Phil, Lil, and Angelica are watching a cartoon or a show called the Mega Hyper Heroes or something like that. There's Changeling, who can change, obviously. Miss Invisible, Poor Man's Hulk, Bulk, and and Flamo, and the show they're watching ended on a cliffhanger, and then Angelica, being Angelica, stole each toy that the kids were holding and took them to herself, because that's what Angelica did. So Tommy, in his wisdom and leadership, decided we're going to become mega diaper babies by getting the teeth and rings of power to get the power. And they became Changing Baby, which was Tommy, Spitball Boy, which was Phil, Dotted Line Girl, which was Lil, and Stinky, the smelliest baby in all the world, Chucky. And Chucky's line was, "Why do I always have to be stinky?" And adventures ensued. It was basically them taking on Angelica, who was basically Ultron in this animation. And I rewatched this because when you watch shows back in the day and you watch them now, a lot of them haven't aged very well, and it's not as good as you remember it. This one was as good as I remembered it. It was fun. It was cool. It brought a smile to my face, and that's all you can ask for from a show. So
that's what I got when I rewatched some of this as well. It's like, it took me to a place at the time, and I was like, these were so cool.
Yeah,
it felt so good. Yeah.
But now I'm gonna have to bring the mood down a little bit.
Okay, 9 o'clock. Bring it down.
All right. So sticking with Nickelodeon, but this time we are sticking with. This time we're doing with Doug. And things are going to get a bit emotional, this one.
Oh, hey, mayonnaise.
Because I couldn't find what season or episode it was. It was very hard to find the information on this one. But so what happened was, it was a snow day, and they were all, most of the kids of Bluffington were just on the ice skating and doing all that jazz. And BB, the rich girl of the whole, BB Bluff, she was skating towards thin ice. Pork Chop saw this, went to get her, bit her on the leg, and pulled her away. We did talk about this episode. And
we did.
Yes. And everyone saw it as Pork Chop being violent and biting her, but at the same time, it was obviously we had the information. We saw that he was trying to save her. And it was a full-blown trial to put Pork Chop down. He was a dangerous dog and all this. And it was just an emotional roller coaster of, oh, they're going to kill my dog. Why are you doing this, Pork Chop? Tell us. Because obviously we see Pork Chop in the series doing all these amazing things, wearing costumes, dancing, you know, but he can't talk. He's just a dog. And it basically was an adventure of what happened. It was basically a trial Pork Chop. I can't remember if that was the episode called, but it was just an emotional roller coaster of just drama, love, and just remembering, and just like flashes of seeing Doug by a gravestone of Pork Chop, just like, what? I'm gonna bring some reality into my programming. Life and death matter.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And hashtag save Pork Chop. Pork Chop for life. Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember the episode. Okay. We were talking about a couple of months ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did. It left a little bit of a mark. What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a tad.
All right, the next slot, I'm going to put in Power Rangers.
Of course.
And the episode I'm going to put in for Power Rangers is season one, the first episode of Green Ranger.
Was that season one?
That was season one.
Why did I think that was years down the line?
Wow. To be fair, Power Ranger continuity is so different, so messed up because they underestimated how well Power Rangers would do. So like, obviously it was based on the Japanese counterpart, ZU Sentai, and obviously they filmed up to a point, and then they stopped, and then obviously they moved on to the next series. But because it did so well in America, and obviously everyone was synonymous with those costumes and everything, they actually had to get special episodes made, especially in Japan, for them to do that. So like, because that period where Tommy got his power, Tommy was a bad guy, was part of the team for a bit, then just disappeared because he lost his powers.
Yeah.
Because in the Japanese series, his character dies. So like, basically, the Green Ranger is basically that's why in the American one he lost his powers, but because of the popularity of both of his character and Power Rangers in general, season two didn't really start until I would say when he came back.
Okay,
that makes sense.
I could be
making this all up in my head, but I'm pretty sure that's how it worked. But yeah, so the first season with the Green Ranger, the introduction of Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank, and Rita getting her own ranger, and him proceeding to beat the shit out of the Power Rangers for five episodes. It was amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. That I was hyped.
Go on.
No, I said I was hyped to the child, and I wanted a Green Ranger figure. I remember pressuring my mum refusely. I don't want Knight Rider. I don't want Heat Man anymore. I wanted the Green.
Wow. No.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
No.
But,
no, because I remember, I think when that saga started, me, Chantel, and the family, we were in St. Kitts at the time. Yeah. So by the time we got back, the second episode was airing that day. So I was like, what the hell is going on? And like, cause I came into the aftermath of the command center had been destroyed. Zordon was missing. They didn't have access to their full power. I was just like, what the hell? And like, when I saw the first episode, I literally saw this guy jump into the Megazord and punch them all out of the Megazord and proceed to beat the shit out of them. And I was just like, wow, okay, I'm invested. So I want everyone else to have that investment. So that'd be my third slot.
Great choice.
Okay.
Bruh, by the way,
yeah,
the Doug episode is called Doug's Christmas Story, season 4, episode 10.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Next slot, we're keeping it. We're going to go Cartoon Network this time. So as you can see, I've kind of gone with late 90s, early 2000s cable TV. So we had Nickelodeon, we had technically Fox Kids, and now we're going to Cartoon Network.
Okie dokie.
And we are going with Wacha! Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack, yes.
Big shout out.
And the episode...
Six soundtrack.
Yeah. The episode I'm going with is called Jack in Egypt. I couldn't find what season that was in.
Okay.
But I want to say season three. I really want to say season three, but I could be completely wrong. But Jack in Egypt. So, Haku, being the thing he was, wasn't having much joy trying to kill Jack, because Jack is a badass. And he sourced help from these creatures known as the Minions of Set. Now, there were these mutant anteaters, best way to describe them. But they were just horrendous and horrible and just tough as nails. And like, do you know when Sam Jack's fighting, there's a process to him, to his battle. So basically, when it gets tougher and tougher, he loses more of his clothing and usually ends up in his pants by the end of it, and pants and sandals, basically.
Yep.
Literally in the first 5 seconds, so Jack is aware of the legend. So he's in Egypt because he obviously, when before all this happened, he traveled the world to get training to take on Haku in the first place. So he was in Egypt, reliving some memories of finding like the site of the Minions' set. So when he realized he was on the site of the Minions' set, and the pit had been opened, they proceeded to give him the beating of his life. He was topless in 5 seconds, and to the point where he had to defend himself, run away, and say the words, "These are the strongest creatures I've ever faced in my entire life." And he had no solution. The only solution he had to beat them was to read the incantations all over the place and summon a god to get rid of them. That's how bad these things were, because he could not handle them at all. There's always a solution Jack would find in most of the fights he ever got himself into, but with this solution, he had to call a literal god to get rid of them.
I like this. It's called Jack and the Scarab. It's episode 31 in season 3.
Thank you. I was right, season 3.
You were? See, this is giving me the Mummy vibes.
Mm. In a sense, yes. It really was. Because, like, literally, again, it was, because, like, obviously, the whole premise of Jack, obviously, he was sent back. He was sent into the future where Haku reigned, lived long, and obviously, he's traveling a desolate world where it's mostly a wasteland with a few features of bits and pieces here and there. And obviously, he's gone back to an area which is basically an Egyptian wasteland and seen pieces of hieroglyphs where he grew up technically and trained. But you got a little deep dive into his past, which is really cool,
because you got
bits and pieces throughout the whole series, throughout the whole show, but like moments like that were really cool. And then again, it took him going back to his past to stop the thing that was kicking his ass in the first place. So, but yeah, that would be the fourth one.
Big shout out to Phil Lamar, as always.
Phil Lamar and Mako, may you rest in peace.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, what we got?
And last but not least, Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I was waiting. I was like, where is it? Where is it going to be? Turtles, or is it going to be Dragon Ball Z?
Dragon Ball Z, baby. Now, I remember that an episode I'm choosing is the episode that got me into Dragon Ball Z in the first place. I saw this episode while I was on holiday in St. Kitts again, actually. Happened to be on TV, and it was Saiyan Saga, Goku versus Vegeta for the first time.
Uh-oh.
And again, I had never seen anything like Dragon Ball before in my entire life. I've seen anime, and I've seen like your basic action anime, but the fighting was just on another level. These were titans,
yeah,
at their best, fighting, literally holding, having power in their hands that could destroy an earth, because like destroy a planet, because at the time I didn't really know much about the mythology. So in my head, one's a human, the other one's an alien. But I didn't really understand that they were both aliens. One was raised on Earth. The other one had been raised, obviously, on his planet. And it's just the scene that's just synonymous with this episode is the beam fight they have, where Vegeta is trying to shoot his Gallic gun at Goku to hit the planet and destroy it, and Goku's using his Kamehameha to push him away and stop him from doing it. And that scene is so iconic. Like, you can find a picture of it anywhere on the internet. You can find the amount of video game clips or recreations of it with fan animation, fan footage. It's iconic. It's one of the royal jewels of anime. So
yeah.
I would definitely end it on something like that. So you get a packs a punch. So we end in a bang, in one hell of a bang, and. But yeah, that would be my shows.
Quality shouts out, bro.
Thank you.
I've got to say, I love the fact again that once again, for all that there is, we didn't overlap as in we didn't like choose the same. Mm. We all went a different route.
Well, to be honest, when you said Thundercats, I was like, fuck's sake, fucking got an emergency one.
I was like, I'm gonna have to do all the glitters because it's for one of my testing ones. But I love that we went to different routes. We have different recommendations. We've gone through time. We've gone from like, you know, from really old obscure to from like, you know, British stuff like Captain Scarlet and Chucky to Dragon Ball to, you know, to Samurai Jack to Rugrats. I just love it. I think that's what I wanted to kind of encapsulate for our season finale. So thank you so much, because I love like to go on the run and see things through your eyes, and I hope that the audience enjoy this too. I just also want to take this time to say, bruv, I absolutely salute you. This season has been an absolute treasure to do with you. You're just phenomenal, and it's just been the fun has been. I love that we do this, and I want to keep doing this. Big man, same, honestly, man. The energy, the love, the jokes has just been there, and it's been amazing. I give credit to your props every time we do this. I just enjoy it. I enjoy that we can share on this platform. And thank you to every single person, the thousands of people, it isn't the thousands, who download, listen, like, subscribe. I'd love it if you'd talk to us more, you know, put stuff on Instagram, email us and what have you. But, you know, we're building things slowly and we're building one brick at a time. And I just love to entertain. I love when I get feedback, which I have done over the years. So thank you so much. Shout out to everybody. And thank you for going on this journey. We hope to return with season 3 at the later part of the year. But we're going to take just a month or two off just to recharge batteries, because we all work and ting and what have you. And it'd be crazy on them streets, and sometimes you've got to take a little bit of a breather, but we want to come back stronger and offering you something interesting, intriguing, something to laugh about. So
no doubt.
I would say thank you to both of y'all. And we'll say thank you for the journey.
Because we couldn't do this without you. I mean, you're the one that hypes us up, gives us the energy to go on. And I can only mirror what Brub will say, but without you and Brub, this wouldn't be possible. And obviously, a massive thank you goes out to everyone that listens, supports us, downloads us, interacts with us. Just thank you, because you guys give us the energy to carry on. So thank you very much. And have a good summer and stay safe out there.
You can mirror what I say. I'm not saying nothing. Ha! In your face, big man. Okay, fine, I'll say something. Yeah, again, I did not know what this would turn into, considering the trials that are put in front of us with lockdown and COVID and all that stuff. We made it work, and we've been going strong ever since, and we're going to continue to keep going strong until I quit, which Shanta doesn't realize I'm going to quit like right after this. We're done. I'm not doing this ever again. She doesn't know that, but don't tell her. I'm going to keep it. Shh! She doesn't know. And she'll never know.
Sorry, I blacked out there for a second. Cool.
This is last episode, I promise. No, I'm joking. You'll see us in 2 months where we'll be stronger, faster, better. And you could say it will be one hell of an instant classic.
Amen to that. You know, like I said, there's plenty of episodes to get through. Please just have a listen from our season 1 through our season 2. Let us know your highlights, let us know your lowlights, let us know anything the hell you want. You can email me directly at stjudesavengers@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Instagram, which is bestuppod, or you can check us out on Twitter. Big man, bruv, what's your socials?
Okay, and we start. You can find me on Instagram at Mr_Roberts_V1 or on Twitter at War3782. Mr. Classic, bruv, take it away.
I is on the tube of you. YouTube, on the Instant Classic Gaming. You can also find me on Twitch, TikTok, and Instagram under Instant Classic _Gaming.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for subscribing, liking. Thank you very much for being there. Take care. I will see you next season.
Definitely.
I'm done. You're not going to see me ever again. I want my fucking cereal.
Please send cereal for the love of God.
Later. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the Centuries Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.